Looks like marriage is about to join. So is this all the devotees were expecting? Yes.
Yes,
Yeah.
yes.
Okay. So we can just go ahead.
Yes.
If you can introduce the topic and marriage, and then.
Yeah. Hare Krishna Maharaj, welcome. So, Maharaj, you're most welcome to the, on the behalf of Finisiatra, you're welcome to the seminar of today. I'm just very honored to have your association, and we are very much anticipated for your presence. And of course, during these times, it's not been so easy to have spiritual masters and sadhus and gurus here in Finland. So we are very happy to have this possibility for June to have this seminar. And today we proposed that the topic would be serving as a family of Srila Prabhupada, increase in family spirit and cooperation between the devotees.
Okay,
so, does it sound okay, Maharaj?
Yes, very nice, very nice.
Okay, so great. Once again, you're most welcome, and we are quite many here at the temple, and there's also some participating from home.
Okay.
So I would like you to start. Thank you very much for joining us today. Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I see one of our devotees is down at the a nice lake with the trees in the background and everything like that. But okay. So the fundamental principle of the aspect of family then is based on the principle is that there's a common value. Community means common value. So there's going to be common value when we see something that is common to everyone. Otherwise, you can't expand the family or have family if there's not something common. So for us, then the common point is the understanding of the soul as servant of Krishna. And the soul is servant of Krishna, and the living entities as servants of Krishna. And so therefore, as servants, we're following Srila Prabhupada, and following him, serving the previous acharyas, headed by Srila Rupa Goswami. And in this way, then we're serving Radha and Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's the basis of family. We have to always understand that's always the foundational principle. If we try to make it anything else, then we're dealing with some variety of upadhi, right? And so by dealing with an upadhi means with a material consideration or material identity, then there's going to be the difficulty that there's never going to be anything fully in common. When you deal with the conditioning of the souls, there's no two conditionings that are the same. Therefore, you see, Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out, even twins are different. They may be very similar, but they're still different. So if you look at anything, even you have out in your backyard a tomato plant, you know, two tomato plants, they're different. They have the same kind of leaves, they put out the same kind of fruits. You know, basically grow the same, but if you check carefully how they're growing, the leaves, how many leaves, what direction, you know, that it's different. So that's always going to be a weakness in trying to find that commonality based on the external, the bodily, gross and subtle bodily identification. You'll never get the same. Because if you're getting the same, then you're going to be dealing with the same person, right? And even then, you see, you don't necessarily even get on with yourself, right? You can have so many arguments with yourself. No? You know, yes, no, we should do this and that. If I win, no, but if you do that, then this will happen and that. No, but, you know, I've always wanted to do this. No, no, but consider all these. We can argue with ourselves. So let alone with others. So we have to be very, very clear that there is no material platform for creating commonality between everyone. Because when we're talking about family community, we're talking about family community that's not based on upadis. So therefore, we can't use the community identification based on upadis. Right? It's not logical. It doesn't make sense. We can't say, yes, it's for everybody. We're open to everybody. So what's our going to be our community values and that, and then base it on something mundane? As soon as you do that, only certain persons have that particular kind of conditioning. And so that's why you see on the material platform, people get together based on their material conditioning. Right? If you go to a golf club, the only people there are people playing golf. Right? You don't have at the golf club, because it has very nice lawns and everything like that, that you have somebody out there that is has their, you know, four-wheel ATV, and they're running around on the golf course there having a great time. Right? Or there's a whole bunch of kids out there playing hide and seek, and they're running around and all that. You don't have that. What's at the golf course is people playing golf. You go to the tennis court, they're playing tennis. You go to the ocean, then they're either sitting in the sun or eating something or playing in the water. Right? Yeah, or, you know, if you have, like, you have a marina there, then they might be in their boat. But that's it. You're not going to have other people doing other things. So when we're talking about, you know, for everybody and all and everything like this, which is very nice, then there is no common, mundane, external form that accommodates everybody. There isn't. Right? That's the whole point. So one has to get over that point that we're going to base it on that. We're going to say, no, no, it's all about Krishna consciousness. Therefore, you know, we just want to have a group. It's, you know, just Grihasthas. Okay, if you're having a meeting where you're discussing about the Grihastha thing, but then that's a subsection of community. Or just the Brahmacharis. Yes, that. Or just the men or just the women. Right? But the point is that's because you have a very specific thing. But when you say community, it means everybody. So you have to have something that's common. The common point is the soul is servant of Krishna. That's the only thing that's common amongst everybody. Nothing else is common. The physical elements, the intellectual, the emotional, you know, the particular physical identities, those are all going to be different. No one's going to have the same thing. Therefore, then one has to be very, very clear that there's not going to be something else. So therefore, you can't have something else. Does that make sense? Yeah. So as a beginning place, that's where you have to start. Because otherwise, we have to be considerate, or we have to be caring, okay, nice, considerate. How do you define that? What is considerate? When you say you have to be kind, how do you define kindness? What's the measurement? What do you say is kind? You know? Oh, you know, we have to be loving. How do you define loving? Right? But when we say the soul, that's defined. That 1/10,000 tip of the hair that's a part and parcel of Krishna, that's very clearly defined. Servant of Krishna means following the spiritual master, following the previous acharyas, headed by Srila Rupa Goswami, like that. It's very clear that you have the commonality. Then you can create community. Because yes, does that make sense? It all has to be centered around Krishna. Then within that, yes, it's going to be the devotees in your area, your temple, or, you know, extended beyond that, or you might have some regional things where all the different temples up there get together. Or you might have a festival, so everyone's getting together around Krishna like that, and so they're coming from all over for that kind of festival. You know, there's got to be something that's centered on Krishna, and then you can have these different subgroups. But if you try to make the subgroup as the center of the thing, you will fail. You can't be successful because it's not happening anywhere else, because then otherwise, then who's there? Okay, who's at the golf club? Just anybody playing golf? Or did they have to drive up in a Mercedes or a Rolls Royce or a Bentley? You know, or maybe from next door, you know, a Koenigsegg, you know, like that. Okay, that's okay also. A little sporty, but yeah, it's okay. You're golfing. Right? So, but otherwise everybody's there is that. Everybody's wearing their preppy outfits. You know, what they're wearing, the clothes itself cost a few thousand, you know, euros. You know, and then their clubs and all that. What do they got there? You know, they got just any old thing, you know, something like that. No, they got those nice, you know, carbon fiber stuff like this, you know, perfectly weighted and all that. You understand? That class of person is there at that club. You can't just have anybody else. So that's the whole point. Who's now, it's just like, let's say from the old temple, if you continued across and went across the canal, and after you go across that canal, you turn to the left. And if you go down just a little bit, not very far, then there's a place there where all they do is make and hang out about old American, what do you call it, hot rods. I don't know if anybody even noticed that, but it's those, you know, ones that the wheels stick out and that, and it's got this old 1930s or 1940s, you know, body. It's got a big V8 engine that sticks out. And all those people do is that. So if you don't have one of those, or you're not interested in one of those, you would not be there. You know what I'm saying? As soon as you get into the material, it immediately limits what, you know, in other words, if we take the huge, all, you know, the whole community, let's say the Northern Europe Yatra or something like that, how many of those people, if you were a karmi and not a devotee, would you ever spend time with? Right? So that's the point. You can't do it on a material platform because we've joined because of a spiritual qualities and attraction. It has to be based on that. So this is very, very important. Otherwise, nowadays, people talk all kinds of stuff. You know? And it's throwing out all these wonderful qualities, but do they define the qualities? And when you see when they define the qualities, it's based on the material platform, not on the spiritual. Therefore, it works for the person talking. And it works for a few people who what they're talking, it resonates with. And they might even be able to use it in their own private life. But it's not necessarily it'll work in Krishna consciousness in interacting with other devotees. Because when you say, like I said, be kind to others. Okay. How do you define kind? Right? So we know from the Vedas that actual kindness means a consideration of their position in that they are servant of Krishna and how they can be connected to Krishna. Right? That's definitely going to work for anything. So giving someone Krishna consciousness or dealing with them on a Krishna conscious platform, that's the ultimate kindness that you can deal with. Right? And if you're considering other than that, you want to consider also the condition, nature, and their emotions and that. Then as Prabhupada says, Chanakya Pandit, then he says that you have to deal with others according to how you would want to be dealt with. So you're going to have to deal in that level. So that's the equality. You deal with yourself and others with the same consideration. Then kindness can be defined. If you use any other definition, it's going to be very specific for a very specific conditioning. And so it won't be eternal. The soul's eternal. The soul's trying to develop a eternal position in relationship to Krishna. And so then that aspect is going to be hampered by we're using a mundane upadhi or definition of kindness that today works but tomorrow won't. That's what one has to understand about any of the modern definitions of these things. Today they're there, tomorrow they're gone. In fact, tomorrow it's the opposite. The person who today is a great guy, tomorrow is a demon. And a guy who was a demon yesterday, today may be a great guy. That's how politics works. That's how economics works. People go wherever the buck goes. Just as we follow the path of, you know, what's favorable to Krishna, others follow what's favorable for making money, what's favorable for my sense gratification, for myself, in my position. So yes, they're trying to attain that spontaneous platform of devotion, but that devotion is to money or themselves, their senses. So it's sense gratification or extended sense gratification. So the lowest levels of consciousness, you know? So then that's all that's looked at. So it's not looked at more than that. Like some will look at, oh, money, you know, everybody should have money and this and that. But the point is money the important element in Krishna consciousness? You can be Krishna conscious whether you have money or not. Right? If you have some money, it makes life easier. But if you don't, you can be Krishna conscious. But if you base community interaction based on money, then if there's not money, then we don't have community. And then where are you going to get that money? Because money's either already there or it's not. And so if it's already there, then you have whatever you have, others have that. But if you want everyone to have a certain amount, then you have to take from those who have more and give to those who have less. The point is many times people have less because they don't know how to deal with money. The same opportunities are there. One takes it, gets the result. Another doesn't take it, doesn't get the result, and demands the same, you know, benefit. But even you give them that benefit, then you come back later, what's it like? Right? You go into one house, it's very nice and clean and tidy. You go in another house, it's a total mess. So how are you going to get equality on the material platform? So don't even try. You have to see, as Vaishnava etiquette means, you know, dadati prati grinati guhyam akiti prichati bhunkte bojayate chaiva sadvidvam priti lakshanam. That's your platform for creating family. You have to understand, these are the only things that will make family. You try anything else, it will not work. Otherwise, why hasn't it worked in the last, you know, 40, 50 years? You saw the strongest community was when all devotees were focused on what Prabhupada said, what he was saying, following the acharyas, trying to develop love for Krishna. That focus is that. But if you switch it to political, who's in charge, who's got the power, who's got the authority and this and that, you'll always lose. Because we have to remember, Krishna controls his energies, not us. We can say, no, I'm in charge, but where Krishna, Prabhupada explains that we see because Krishna's seeing. Krishna's seeing, then what Krishna sees, we can see that. If Krishna's not seeing, what are we going to see? He's the power of the eyes. So because he's seeing, we see. So because he's controlling the energies, he's controlling, we serve that, then we can follow. Right? It's very straightforward Krishna consciousness. Then, but generally we can only apply straightforward Krishna consciousness into chanting our japa or going to artik or offering an artik or cooking for the deities or maybe cleaning the temple or, you know, doing some project there at the temple. Anything outside of that, we can't apply it. But that's the whole point. Maturity in Krishna consciousness means you start to see how Krishna is everything. That means everything connects to Krishna. Therefore, at any place, at any time, in any situation, I can be Krishna conscious, see Krishna, and be interacting with Krishna. But that means then I have to apply this philosophy into that situation. Right? It's not just ritual. Okay, yeah, I've got it down. It took me 2-3 years to kind of get it down, you know, the practice of Krishna consciousness. But now that I got that down, now I can, you know, focus on more important things like how to control the universe or how to be the enjoyer of the universe or, you know, other things, you know, other important things like that, how to be the richest person in the universe or, you know. So that's not what actually makes anything function. It's a matter of the laws are there. You follow the laws of nature, you get the benefit. You don't follow them, you will never get the benefit. It doesn't matter what you think or what anybody else thinks. It doesn't matter. You know, sorry to not be the, oh no, but it's all about you. And, you know, it's your life. You can do with it as you want. You know, you should go forward and have your dreams right for you. I'm not going to tell you that kind of crap. You want that kind of crap, just go on YouTube. There's probably a million guys that are going to tell you that. And those guys, because you want that, you're joining, you're subscribing in that, and they're making money. Are you making money? No. Yeah. So therefore, they're doing it because it makes money. Otherwise, why would they be on that platform? Why is anybody doing these things? Who's doing something for free? You know, Mahatma Gandhi did something for free. What happened to him? Right? They shot him. So you have to understand is that the material world, it's simply people are self-centered. So unless you create something outside of that self-centered focus that's based on Krishna, then you have community. So in other words, all we're saying is be Krishna conscious. That's how you have community. It's very simple. Everybody can do it. Everybody can take part. Anybody can arrange it who has a bit of ability to interact and deal. So that's the thing. It's accessible to everyone. But anything else? No. Otherwise, why are there 50, 60 different gurus in the way of self-help? And somebody says, yeah, this is great. That guy is terrible. I tried that. Because it's based on the modes of nature. And so therefore, yes, rich dad, poor dad, that works for me because, you know, I'm worried that, you know, I can't make it in that, you know, stuff. No, but you have to worry. No, it's not about that. You can do it. It doesn't matter if your dad was rich or poor. You can do it if you try. No, I want to get out there. I want to do everything. I want to get it done and all that. You know, I got a million things I want to do, but I'm getting nothing done. Okay, be goal-oriented, you know, like that. Write your goals. What are your goals? Put them in order. Prioritize and all of that. Now work and put in your efforts and that. Now you get it. But that's the guy who's already active. The other guy is you know, insecure. You understand? So that's the thing is they're catering to a particular mode of nature. Particular combinations. So that will not be community. Community will only be based on it being centered around Krishna. Then, once we have that as a basis, now you start to consider what is my particular conditioning, what are others, how to work with that, how to interact with that. You know, that's being intelligent. Just like you can tell the difference between your car and, let's say, a bucket. Right? Your car may have bucket seats, but that doesn't mean that your bucket is a car or your car is a bucket. You know? My bucket's shiny, my car's shiny, so that makes them the same? No, you have to be able to tell the difference. So yes, there is ability to tell the difference. But if it's not centered around Krishna as the center, it won't work. Anybody who's trying to develop all these communities, how many of them it's working? It comes in, you have a nice class, it sounds fabulous, everyone's, wow, that's great, I feel so good, yeah, I feel so, you know, you say, validated and all this, and you know, and I can be myself and all that, and as soon as the class is over, then what happens? The insecurity's back, everything's that, everybody starts fighting like cats and dogs again, because where's the common ground except Krishna? Krishna is the only common ground between everything because everything comes from Krishna. That's the only thing that can reconcile differences. Right? Krishna's internal potency, the chit potency, one of its specialties is it is the one that harmonizes and controls all other energies. So that means all energies, no matter what they are, can be reconciled and harmonized with the chit potency. But the reflection of the chit potency or Maya does not have that potency. Therefore, you have 8,400,000 species and hardly get along with each other. right? Even you have dogs. There's, you know, 300 different kinds of dogs. It's not necessarily they get along. Even if it's one species, they don't necessarily get along. Like in India, we only have one species of dog, right? It's got some technical name. Here it's a street dog, right? So you think, oh, it's something low class and all that. No, it's actually a purebred. The dogs on the street in India are purebreds, right? And you can pick one up wherever you want. You don't have to pay, you know, €1,000 to get a purebred dog. They're right on the street, you know, like that. But they're purebreds. They're original dogs. They're not bred. They're not interbred. They're not. They're just the way they have been for millions of years. It's an original dog, right? And they don't get along. Right, this from this line to this line, this is these three dogs are here. And any other dog, that's not their territory. So the whole thing is the idea if one ever foolishly thinks, no, we can use this, you know, oh yeah, I mean, no, the spiritual is so elevated and that, but we have to start with something more simple, you know, we're just trying to be practical, Prabhu. All that philosophy is, that's all theory and that. We're just being practical right here on the ground. And so, therefore, then they're not being practical. They're being mundane. They're being self-centered. That's the reality. You have to consider your nature. You have to know what it is, but know that you're not that. You have a particular physique. You have a particular mind and intelligence and ego. You have to know how to work with it. Know what it is. You can't get in a Fiat 500 and think you're going to win at Le Mans. You know, at the same time as you can't think, well, I'm going to go shopping, so I'm going to take my Lamborghini. You know, you can't even drive down the street. Those little bumps that are there, I can't get over them. The bump is this big. That's higher than the clearance under the car. You can't drive there. So that's the thing. You have to know what you have to know what it does. And you have to accept, it's not me, so what does it matter? If I don't have any brains, what does it matter? This is what I have to work with. So what service can I do for Krishna that takes no brains? Or I have this kind of brain, so I can use it for like this for Krishna. As long as I'm using it for Krishna, it's great. But if I'm not using it for Krishna, Krishna will let you know. So this kind of, if we start from here, in other words, the descending process means you have to accept this principle first before you can move farther down. It's just like, let us say, I want to do mathematics, but I'm not accepting numbers. I'm not accepting the times tables or the subtraction or addition tables, all that arithmetic. I just want to do higher stuff. I want to do calculus, but I'm not going to use anything from arithmetic, including the numbers. Will you be successful? No. You will fail. Doesn't matter how intelligent. No, but I'm so smart. I know more than these, you know, third graders and all that. They deal with the arithmetic. I'm so intelligent. I don't need any of that. This means you're dealing with a fool. You don't have to be. You don't see, being a fool is not limited to a low IQ. You can be very high IQ and be a total fool. Because ultimately, if you don't know you're not the body or the soul, you're servant of Krishna, you'll fail ultimately. You can say, no, but look at the karmis. They're making so much money. They're making this, they're that. People listen. They're selling so many books. Yes, and then they die, and then what? Then where do they end up? They like hanging out at the marina down there. Then they're going to end up as one of those seagulls or a fish. Right? The guy was a big guy, so he's those big seagulls. The guy was a small guy, he ends up one of those small seagulls. Like I think you have down there at your beach about two or three different kinds of seagulls. Really big ones, medium ones, and little dinky ones. So you want to be a seagull? What? Yeah. So that's the whole point, is that, great, he's doing something now. The soul is eternal. And then for 50 years, he does something seemingly great. And then after that, then he's a seagull. And we're not talking Jonathan Livingston here. We're talking just that seagull that comes, and every time you like to sit down and get out your sandwich, he's sitting there. We're talking about that seagull. You know? So this is the problem, is that we have to have faith that if you have to start with the faith, that conviction that, no, I'm the soul. Right? Means it's a fact. It's not because you have faith, it's real, and if you don't have faith, it's not. These are facts. These are laws of Krishna. Right? But when you have faith in him, then you can apply yourself, you can commit yourself. So Prabhupada gives the point is, religion is defined as a particular kind of faith. No, religion means following the laws of God. The laws are there whether you accept them or not. Like the thief doesn't accept the laws of the state, but the laws are there, and if he gets caught, he's put in jail and punished. Right? So the laws that Krishna gives, these are for humans, right? The dogs do dog stuff. They don't do something else. You don't have to worry about going out of your house and seeing dogs flying around. Right? If dogs are flying around like that, you know, then go back into your house, check the bottle of juice that you drank before you went out, and just make sure that it was the one you thought you were supposed to be drinking. Right? Dogs aren't flying around. They're not climbing trees. Right? Does that make sense? It's just, that's what they do. You know, cats aren't submissive. If you find a cat that's submissive, something's wrong. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, if you have a goldfish that remembers everything, something's wrong. You know? So the point is these laws are there, they never change. We may say, oh, it's old, it's archaic, we want, all it is their consciousness changes. You go back 100 years, people were more religious. Back a few hundred years, religion was the main thing. Then they start introducing their philosophies and that. Then it's religion is there, but the social element is there and the economic. Then religion is less, the economic becomes, more, the social economic. Then it becomes about economics, like capitalism. I mean, capitalism is economics. Communism is economics. They say it's an ism, it's a philosophy, it's a lifestyle. It's just economics. Right? And what's it based around? I'm going to enjoy from that. If I go out and make as much money as I want, I will enjoy. Oh, if we make it that everybody gets the same money, then we'll all enjoy in the same way. It's all about enjoyment. So what's happened? The consciousness has gone down to anamoy, the lowest level of consciousness. And they make it even more. No, it's about you. What do you feel? What do you want? Oh, no, but he didn't like that, therefore it's bad. But, you know, no, there's a standard, whether it's good or bad. They like it or don't like. We want to go by that, the criminals think that them not being able to steal is wrong. They should be able to steal and not get punished. So now does that change the laws? If we go by whatever people feel. So people talk about that. You know, you must see in your politics and all that in the local scene there, the European scene, is that talk about, you know, the political things. But ultimately, they're only saying those things that they feel is beneficial to themselves. How they'll benefit from that. Either they will personally benefit in the way of the economics, or they'll benefit in the way of power because of the economics. So politicians, they may get no money from it, but they get power from it. Right? So that's the whole thing. Gain and safety. Safety means I'm in control. Gain means I get profit. So you see, that's what Krishna says in the Gita. You have to look at things not from the platform of gain and safety. And that's all that's being used these days. And for the purpose that I'm going to benefit. Therefore, everything's that. Whatever is of value from the past, throw that all out, and we have new values. But those new values are specifically around the living entity's own desire. And if you don't think like that, It's not about I do what I want to do, you do what you want to do. No, everyone's got to do what I want to do. And if you agree with me, then you're good. And if you don't agree with me, you're bad. This is animals. Animal culture. So we have to be very, very clear that what goes on around us isn't going to give us much. It can inspire us. Somebody does some good work, is considerate and nice. But why is that important? Because these are Krishna's living entities. So that's where it comes down. Is now, if this is the common ground, is that it's based off the spiritual, that means every living entity is Krishna's. And if they belong to Krishna, then if I care for Krishna, I care for what belongs to Krishna. Therefore, I'm going to deal with every living entity properly. Right? That's going to create the community. Then everyone will follow the etiquette. So it's very important to understand how it actually practically applies. You can say, that's very nice, you know, but that's all a bunch of theory. No, it's not. Right? No, it's not. It's a matter of, if I go into somebody else's house and I consider this house belongs to that person, and therefore I deal with everything carefully because I know it's that person's, that's the consideration. If I deal with it as it's my own, right? And I leave a mess in the house like I would in my own, that means you don't care about the person. Right? So therefore, if I care about Krishna, this material energy belongs to Krishna. All the living entities belong to Krishna. Therefore, I should deal with them as Krishna says they deserve to be dealt with. They're theirs. Right? You don't take the Rolls Royce and go out and do donuts on the front lawn. Right? You don't do that. You could say, oh, it's a car and it's a lawn, it's just some grass, what's the big deal? But the point is, it's Krishna's grass, it's Krishna's car. So therefore, the car is for taking you from point A to point B, not for donuts. Donuts, you either make them yourself or there's shops that sell donuts. You know? And there's a good chance that there'll be better donuts than the one that you made on the lawn. Right? So the whole point is you have to see is that these things are not just by understanding this principle, then you can see that therefore you will deal with every living entity nicely. That's how you have community. Others will be attracted because you deal nicely. And why are you dealing nicely? Because in consideration of Krishna, not a material context. And so therefore then you do. And you could say, but what happens if someone else is not being nice? You follow the etiquette and leave it at that. You don't go farther. You don't go deeper than that. Someone else is reciprocating nicely, you have more of a relationship. Right? So that's the principle is that one has to see, is that unless there is this fundamental principle of starting from the Krishna conscious point, I'm the sole servant of Krishna because that's my nature, not that, this is what Krishna, what the Hare Krishnas say. No, that's the nature of the jiva. Prabhupada points out, everybody's serving. Even you're the head of the country. You have to serve the country, otherwise you get thrown out. You know, the head of the family, but you have to serve the family. It always works like that. If your success in anything is because you serve. The person makes so much money because he serves the economic field. Right? He's good in music because he serves that field. Whatever is the area you serve, you get the results. Because Krishna is all those qualities. Krishna is all those results. Krishna is all those activities. you serve there, but know that it's connected to Krishna and use it in Krishna's service, you get spiritual benefit. You don't use it that way, you don't get any benefit. So this is then the principle on how you're going to establish or base the whole context, the whole idea. And then from there you can grow. So then you have to think as well, okay, who am I? What is my position? Means a servant. But what's the conditioning that I have that I can engage? What services can they do? And therefore, what's the regulation on that? Others have another nature. They do other services. What's the regulation on them? What is the connection between the two? What is the etiquette between? And what's the relationship? And then you can act. Right? So the point is that if you want to have community, you have to have something common. That something common is being Krishna conscious. So therefore, the more successful I am at community development means the more successful I am at personal development in Krishna consciousness. If I'm not personally developing in Krishna consciousness, how can I put together community? Because otherwise, what's the basis? So, therefore, Lord Chaitanya gives the essence of all etiquette and social interactions and everything, the third verse of the Shikshastakam. Trinadapi sunichena, tarodapi sahishnuna, amanina manadena, kirtaniya sadahari. Right? He gives that as... Give me 1 second. Okay, so this principle, then you see, becomes an essential point. And if we are trying ourselves to cultivate, humility because I'm simply a servant of Krishna, and we're respectful to everyone else because they're servants of Krishna, and I'm not looking for that respect for myself because I'm simply a servant of Krishna, and I'm tolerant because I know the material nature is the way it is, and so therefore there's no big deal. If I have no material desire, why won't I be tolerant? If I have something to gain, then I get annoyed. But if I have nothing to gain, it doesn't bother me. Right? Does that make sense? That's other than the principle of someone's following etiquette or breaking etiquette or being Krishna conscious or not. That's a different discussion, but I'm talking about our personal development. So if I'm cultivating that, then I can have community with others who are cultivating that. And so then the point is how to introduce that in your life, how to make that. And so therefore the devotees come together, they hear, they chant, they take prasad, they do kirtan, they have festivals for Krishna, they do nice services for Krishna, they clean the temple for Krishna. So all these things go on very nicely because the common point is the development of service to Krishna. Okay. Is there any kind of questions on this and that to give it a more specific direction or more applicable direction? Because what I've spoken now is the general principle on which you have to start from.
Tomarat.
Hare Krishna.
This is a hypothetical question, and I will be playing a devil's advocate. If this conversation would take place with a non-devotee, and he would hear these arguments about the basis of organized society, which has to be based on non-material values in order to work. So such person could put forward arguments that actually we as non-devotees, as materialists, we are giving you through our law and order, we are giving you a small handful group of Hare Krishnas room to do whatever you like. And our society works quite well, despite that you're claiming that only spiritual principle would give can give the society some meaning. So how could we could answer this this doubt? Because the material, especially Western society, it works, you know, they may say, we have our own problems, but you have problems too. You get old, you get sick, you die, as we do. But we don't agree with you that only principle, working principle of society is Krishna consciousness. How we could counter-argue that point?
Okay. So the first point that would be there is that in the discussion that amongst the devotees, for the devotee community, it can work whether the karmis appreciate it or not. So it working for us is not based on that the karmis accept it. So we first have to have that understanding and that kind of appreciation. That it's not dependent upon what they're thinking, right? Because the point is you can say, is like you said, no, but they've created this environment. You know, who this they is, that's another discussion. But this they, but do they all get along, all the different groups in there? Like that. Why does there need to be so much law and order? Why so many rules? I can guarantee if you go back in time when the country was founded, then you didn't have as many rules. But every year they have to add more and more rules. You know, it's like you have the main point and then you have the sub point and then this. So it's down to like four degrees that they're getting, you know, on where to something can go or not, because someone's always being self-centered, someone's always looking after themselves and not considering the community, right? So even amongst themselves, yes, there's problems, and we're not saying that in the material world there's not problems. We're just saying that the solution to those problems can't be found on the material platform. You can cooperate as good as you can, but the point is yes, we'll get old, we'll die, we'll go back to Godhead. They'll get old, they'll die, and then, you know, there's our next group of seagulls. You know? So the whole point is that one has to appreciate that us being successful is not dependent upon whether the karmis agree or not, because they can't agree with themselves. Right? Then, so that will be the main thrust of that. Because when they say is, yes, we've done this, who's this we? The common person on the street has put this government together? No. And they basically have minimal influence. A few individuals, they can get together, they can have influence, they can change things. Even that's slow. But there's an ideal. What's that ideal? That ideal is that everyone can have a general sense gratification, right? It means you're going to start off at the lowest level of consciousness. Is going to be that where it's going to be about yourself. And it's not sophisticated, just living your life however you want, you know, based on just you and the environment, right? Now we can make that more sophisticated by adding science and arts and industry. And so then you call this a civilization. Right? Because that's what you look at. A civilization means a particular group of science, art, and industry. Right? And then you can add other aspects to it, but it starts there. And so then you have that, and by doing that, then you increase your sense gratification, you increase your enjoyment, you're living in a more sophisticated way. You're not unsophisticated. And so then you consider yourself, yes, very developed. But problem is in coming from that simple background into this, much of the time you see is all these different problems come up, as that of atheism, skepticism, voidism. All these different aspects can come up very easily because they're centering it on themselves. Well, you see the simpler people that are out in the village and are living a more, you know, simple outside life, that they're more dependent upon nature and more have a respect for nature, though they're very unsophisticated, you know. But man becoming more sophisticated, okay, that's fine. You know, and we see that even those who are unsophisticated, given the opportunity, then they see the benefits of being sophisticated and being civilized. But the problem is that it's self-centered. Why? It's about yourself. You have to make, it's good that you want to develop all these things. Nice. But what about, you know, everybody? You're being so self-centered. That's bad. You have to see the everybody's benefit. And so therefore, the the science, the arts, the industry, all that has to benefit everybody. Therefore, then you have to have an economic system, you have to have a judicial system, you have to have some basic social etiquettes that everyone follows, that you don't disturb someone else in their sense gratification and their facilities that they've gained, right? And so then you have that, you know. Then you know, but then the problem comes is that how are you going to maintain that morality, right? Why you should follow it? Who's going to know, right? And so then the next point comes along as well. God will know. God's everywhere. God knows everything. He'll know, and because He knows, therefore you'll, if you accept that there's a God, you'll follow your morality better. You'll be a more moral person. Because otherwise, then when you're in your house, you do whatever you like. Who knows? But God's everywhere, so He knows. So you'd be more careful. Plus, you have an idea that, like you said, everyone's going to die, but after death, what happens? Then you have some other idea that there's something more to life. You have more. So you can be peaceful in this life, and when you die, you can be peaceful because you know that there's going to go on to something more. Right? So that's going to be the So then you have to see is, but then if we're going to accept, you're accepting God, but then okay, that's all right that God is there and will make your social systems work very nicely, your economics work very nicely, because someone's God-fearing in that. But the difficulty comes is that someone above that level of consciousness says, no, but God actually exists, He actually is there. It's not that it's just a social construct to make the social things work better. But it's a social thing it's a social aspect to make things function now. That in the present, what you're doing and dealing with the material energy, that's all God, and He's in control. So one needs to follow God's laws. That takes you to the next level. Therefore, it's not, oh, it's just the arts and science and economics and all that, that's the way. It's God's following God's laws. And because it's God's world, he's the economics, He's the social thing, He's the science, He's the arts, He's the industry. He's given the direction, so you use it properly. Otherwise, even you say, yes, the modern civilization, but how are the capitalists doing with the socialists and the communists? Do they get along? You know, you're saying, yes, it's a nice world, we're making all this nice thing and all that. What about the other half of Finland? Where is that? Right? In Finland, in the control of the Finnish government, that you're saying, yes, we've created this. No, it's in the hands of the Russians. Half of Finland. Why? They took that over 400 years ago. Where is this wonderful society that everybody's working together and we give you a place? Right? No? You know, I think you had, I don't know, can't remember what he's called, but you had one guy in the war there, the sniper guy, he shot, I think, 500 people. And because of that, you know, therefore then, that's why you still have half of Finland. Otherwise, you'd have none of Finland. And that's that side. What happened to Finland when the other side, Sweden, decided, hey, this is, looks like a nice place. So where is this wonderful society that you're talking about that's giving the space? You know? So therefore, it's God's laws and all that. But then someone can say is, okay, but then God's just part of your morality. You're accepting God. You're like this. But what about the point where the soul and about the spiritual platform and all that? So then people will go after that. Unfortunately, in going after that, they tend to go towards the impersonal and give up the whole social thing. So all these moralities they don't worry about. But there's no satisfaction there because then it's a pessimistic approach. So therefore, everything's the opposite. So everything's, you know, has form and activity and emotions here. So spiritual must be the opposite. But that's just a logical understanding. That's by logic they've come to that. That doesn't make sense. Because if you're saying, okay, no, the spiritual is there. It's the opposite of the material world. So it's a non-entity. Like that, but everybody knows a non-entity doesn't exist. So there, what is this spiritual that they talk about? According to them, it doesn't exist. So therefore, it's voidism. It's just Buddhism. And where do we ever see nothing? They can say, oh, but that's spiritual. But that's just an intellectual context that, okay, this is material. Spiritual has to be different than this. And so it has to be opposite. Because whatever someone did, then, and it doesn't work, the opposite must work. But we've seen that being going on for decades and centuries, that whatever one person did, if it didn't work, then the other person says, we'll do the opposite, then it will work. But what they forget is that the guy before the one that did the opposite, doing what they're doing now, the guy before that was doing the opposite. This guy is a reaction to the guy before. Now you're a reaction to him. So this kind of logic is useless for that. But because the mundane senses can't perceive something spiritual doesn't mean the soul proper can't perceive. Therefore, by hearing from the proper source and that about the spiritual, then you can actually appreciate and perceive of to, you know, the spiritual realm and the Lord and the living entities. Then one takes up the devotional process. That devotional process then will give you, bring you to the platform. We do sadhana bhakti. That brings you to the platform of bhakti. That bhakti brings you to prema. Right? So then we can see here is that, no, what we're talking about works for everyone. So even you have the society, it's still based on God's laws. You can't do something outside God's laws and have it actually be successful. Does that work? Because otherwise, it means these things we don't have to. It means if they ask us a question, we bring it up. But this topic is more important for the devotees themselves. They do it, then others look and see. Right? It means within that, there's something, and then they see, well, maybe that can work for everybody. It's just like, let's say you have a community somewhere and they're doing something nice. Others may go, well, that's nice. What are they doing that we can do? So it's not that, yes, they have the fabulous society, therefore we're going on. No, it tolerates it as long as you come within the context of what they consider all right. In other words, we shouldn't disturb their pursuance of sense gratification. Then we're okay. Then they'll tolerate. But as soon as one group feels another group is getting in the way of their sense gratification, like I said, those guys with the hot rods, they're enjoying themselves when they fire up that V8 and rev it up and like that and make all kinds of noise and they go, wow, that's nice. But the neighbors all think it's crazy and call the police. So therefore, then, you know, where is this great society? You know, to that degree that they're following the rules and etiquettes and all that, that's the degree it's working. But who came up with these ideas? Where are these from? Where is economics from? Right? Name me the civilization that created economics. What civilization created the concept of family or community or nation? Right? Which civilization came up with the idea of eating food? You know? Or sleeping? Or having an occupation, and because you did an occupation, you get paid for it. Who came up with that idea? You can't name anybody. No individual, no community, no nation, no civilization, because these are all laws of Krishna. So even they're doing all these things. Does that make sense? Does that answer your question or not answer your question? Or
answer my question perfectly, Maharaj. Thank you.
Okay, very good, very good.
Maharaj?
Yes.
We have a question in the chat. May I read it to you?
Yes,
the,
please.
The buddy said that they'd be able to ask it, so I was just asking if they can start their camera.
Okay, maybe Oscar, you can ask directly to be better.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. So, Maharaj, I was just wondering, as obviously we face these conditionings that you also mentioned there in the beginning of the session, that we face these conditionings in our own person and in the persons of others. So what would be the right way to address all of these? Should we simply rely on the purifying process of Krishna consciousness and with the hope and intention that the conditionings would somehow just fade away? Or should we actually try and take them on the table somehow and address them? Which would be the appropriate way to go?
Okay. The conditioning's not going to go away. Means you can purify it. It means you can come to the liberated platform. But the point is the physical body, the mind, the intelligence, that's going to remain. That's not going to change. It'll become purified by the devotional process. But just like Arjuna at the beginning of at the Bhagavad Gita was acting like a Kshatriya and not so much like a self-realized person. But at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, after he'd heard the instructions and he accepted them and now was committed to performing his duties to please Krishna, he was still was performing the duties of a Kshatriya. So that doesn't change. The problem is not that it's there. The problem is the impurities. So whatever the nature is, if it's in a pure state, it doesn't bother anybody. Just like, let's say, you're sitting someplace, right, let's say a public place, and let's say a small child, like a three-year-old, comes up to you and says, "Hi, what's your name?" "My name is, you know, Kimmy," or whatever it is, you know, or Valtteri or something, right? And they know, "What's yours?" And so you'll naturally just interact and be very pleasant, right? Now, what's happening here? Is that child is very bold. You don't know him. He doesn't know you. He's just walked up to you and started talking, saying his name, wanting to know your name, and just carrying on. That's bold. That's outgoing. But because it doesn't have any impurities to it, you don't mind. But now let's say there's some guy who is trying to, you know, get some benefit out of you, trying to cheat you or something like that, and he comes up and gets in your face and tries to start a conversation, you'll be very disturbed. You understand? So it's the purity of the consciousness that matters, not anything else. Right? It doesn't matter what one's background, what one's conditioning is. That doesn't matter at all because you require all of them to make anything function. Right? You have to have the intellectuals. You have to have the administrators. You have to have the economic community. You have to have the common, you know, general workers who do services. Without all that, how does it function? right? So you can't get away from that. The problem is this lack of purity because it's self-centered, because the consciousness is very low. That's why it creates problems. As the consciousness is higher, it creates less problem. It'll only stop being a problem when it gets to the platform of transcendental. So therefore, it's a matter of we practice our Krishna consciousness, other individuals practice their Krishna consciousness, and then based on that, then we have a common ground for interaction. Does that make sense? And Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami then mentions that you associate closely with those who are a similar nature. Swajati means same consciousness, same kind of background, those you can relate to, that you can be inspired by. How they're engaging themselves in Krishna consciousness, you can do what they're doing, and it works for you. So even within the overall family of Krishna consciousness, still there's going to be those individuals that you specifically closely associate with, and others that you only deal with on, you know, more formal kind of situations. Does that make sense? But the conditioning won't go away. Your conditioned nature will go away, but the nature of what physical attributes you have, what mental and intellect, that's not going to go away. Does that make sense? You may be using it more perfectly now. Use your intelligence for Krishna. You engage the mind and senses in Krishna's service. Use the body in Krishna's service. That's body, mind, and words being engaged in Krishna's service. That's sannyas. Right? So Prabhupada, in a letter to Rupa Nuga Prabhu, was saying that he is a family person because he's fully engaged in Krishna's service, body, mind, and words. It is the platform of sannyas. He's not in the ashram of sannyas, but the consciousness is that of everything's engaged in Krishna's service. Because that's the real point that Krishna is making in the 18th chapter of Gita, that sannyas means that it's all about Krishna. Renunciation means it's mine, then I give it to Krishna. Sannyas means whatever activity I do, I'm Krishna, whatever I do is for Krishna. And so that can be done in any ashram, in any varna. Does that make sense? Yeah? Yeah, so in other words, these practical points come up, but you have to always see them always in that context of the Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, you say, oh no, that's just theory, that doesn't work, but nothing else works. Right? People have been talking community, you know, as a social kind of position in an organized way since the mid-90s. And blabbering about it a bit since the early 80s. Where is it? Because it can't happen. It's just like how many, let's say we get together. We have a group of like-minded persons, and we have a nice committee. And we discuss over and over this way and that way about how we're going, about the benefit of horse eggs. Right? And, how it would be so much easier and this and that. And we come to it and we decide, yes, there's going to be horses' eggs. And horses are going to be born from eggs. Not they're not going to be mammals anymore. They're going to be born from eggs. And stuff like that. Is it ever going to happen? No. So you must have in the local language something that deals with that. You know, like in India, then it's flowers in the sky. They go on bushes. They don't fly in the air. In American, we say pie in the sky. You know, pie is something you eat. It's just in the sky. You just take some. You must have something in the local language. But it doesn't exist. It's just a fantasy. So the point is we have to start with reality. And then you can practically apply that reality and get very practical results. Does that make sense? Yeah? Does that answer your question, or
Yes, to quite an extent. Thank you very much. But still, I'm wondering, at least I assume most of us do have some personal issues, and I'm not sure how much is it to do with the culture and all that. But I have the feeling that majority might be somewhat timid to bring out their personal issues, and of course it needs to be considered with whom all these things are discussed to begin with. But still, I'm wondering whether it would be better to actually try and address them, or just to try and somehow internally purify them, and because the question could be formulated also that is it productive to take these issues on the table and try to address them as such, or would it be more appropriate to try and somehow go on the sides and get them shaped throughout time?
But okay, let's say we say we're going to put them on the table. What does putting them on the table do? What are you trying to gain from putting them on the table? Let's say your boots are very dirty from being out on the mud. Now, if I take them off and stick them on the table, what benefit am I going to get? You know what I'm saying? So, the point is if there's someone else who has a similar difficulties, and they are getting some results in dealing with them, then by discussing it, then it can be there. You just have to make sure that in discussing it, is it about the issue, or is it about yourself? Right? Because I want to talk about, yes, you know, I'm so fallen, I'm so this, and I'm so that, and I have this problem, and I have that problem, and I tried so hard, but I'm having so much difficulty. And okay, that's on the table, right? Did I mention the problem yet? But how many times did I mention myself? You understand? So the difficulty, what you're saying in the modern culture, or you know, whatever it is, then is everybody's trying to make it about themselves. So therefore, you have to find those individuals who allow you to talk about yourself and not necessarily consider them, and they're okay with that. So as you find, is like if you go back and you probably ask your grandparents how, you know, what was their circle of associates and who they'd hang out with and who they thought, you probably find it's bigger than your father's, and both of them are bigger than, let's say, yours. How many people you can sit down and actually talk with? We're not counting who you sit down and play on your Xbox with. No? We're talking about who you can actually talk to. Who can you? But you talk about your father had one or two. Your grandparents had even more. Great-grandparents even more than that. So the modern thing is people want to talk about it only because they're talking about themselves, because they have no other way to communicate with anybody else unless they have a problem or an issue or a feeling or, you know, like that. So when you say you're going to talk about it, are you actually going to talk about it? You know, yeah, I'm just too much into money, and just I'm thinking, oh, how to get money, and I want to get, but the point is what about the money? What are you going to get with the money? I'm thinking about, I'm going to get this fancy clothes, or I'm going to get this fancy, you know, other paraphernalia, or a watch, or this or that, and why do I want that? You know, it's just for the prestige that other people see and go, wow, this guy's got that kind of watch, or these shoes, or that kind of coat, or this and that. So it's actually all self-centered. So actually, how important is it? You know, I mean, you have to have some money, you know, you have to pay the bills and take care of things like that and be able to do some things and have a little money. Hey, you know, now and again, we can go to India, you know, visit Mayapur and Vrindavan, or I can do some nice, you know, donate for some nice things at the temple, or, you know, do some other things for some other Vaishnavas are trying to help and this and that. But otherwise, you know, I only need this much there, and I don't really need those things for being a devotee. I don't need for my work. I don't need. but to impress people that I don't even know and I don't need to impress. And even if I get those things right now, then after 6 months, they don't have any meaning anyway, unless I really ridiculously pay a lot of money. Then, yeah, after 10 years, it's still of a value. But the point is who even knows that you have that carry-on Gucci bag or not, or let's say Hermes bag that cost you 8,000 euros? No one will know what it is except somebody else who has that much money. And so if you're moving in that circles, then of course you're going to have one of those, but you don't have to buy two. And if you're not moving in those circles, who's going to know? That's why nowadays you have to buy things with huge logos on it, because no one knows what anything is. Otherwise, before, you look at the gentleman before, there's no labels on anything, but another gentleman can tell this guy knows how to dress. So the point is, okay, what more do we have to discuss about that? Is that how you're talking about discussing? Or we just want to say, oh, you know, having this problem and that, and it's so disturbing, and I feel so bad, and... It's more about just emoting and someone else relating to that, which is also all right, but that's not exactly putting it on the table. That's just finding someone else that you can, has a common experience that you can relate to. But now whether you're actually going to get down to the point of removing it, trying to remove it, that's another thing. But how are you going to get rid of that? How are you going to give up your attachment to prestige and honor and possibly some influence and all that? What can you discuss to get rid of that? What is your discussion to get rid of the need for facility? Other than just, you know, it's all temporary and this and that, just a regular philosophy you always discuss. Right? You can get ways of how you can slowly adjust. Okay, you know, we don't need that much money. So right now, you know, I spend, you know, let's say 100,000 a year, but actually I only need 80. So that 20, you know, I just wasted on stupid things. And so therefore, then cut it down. Then for this year, I'll only spend 90. Put 10 away. You know, then the next year, if that went all right, then it was all right, then okay, then cut it back to 80. It was kind of on the edge, and that, then do again 90, until 90's easy. Then when 90's easy, then do it to 80. Then you see, is that good? Yeah, it works. Or actually, it's more around 82, 83, that works better, like that. And then you just do, and then you run. So these are little practical things that if someone else has that experience, they can discuss it with you. But otherwise, just to sit around and feel bad and all that kind of thing, you can do that if you can find people that are cool with that. But ultimately, you see the basis that you're trying to get rid of is going to be something and only chanting Hare Krishna, worshiping the deity, associating with Krishna and the devotees will get rid of. There is no mundane... Is there a mundane system for getting rid of desire for wealth, you know, fame, followers, sense gratification? Is there something for that? No, they can redirect it. Right? You know, Alcoholics Anonymous, okay, you get too drunk, but they just bring it back to where you can function in society. But it's still about sense gratification. They don't say give up sense gratification. You understand? They just deal with, like the psychologists and psychiatrists, they just deal with people that are too crazy to function in society. But if you're only the right amount of crazy, then you're cured. They don't get rid of crazy, because they don't even know what crazy is. They just know when it's too weird. You understand? So even we say putting it on the table and being real and this and that, but in actuality, putting it on the table, how much is it about solving the problem? You understand? So if you can put it down on the table, be aware of it. It means first on the table, you have to be able to put it on the table for yourself. That you recognize it's there. It is a problem. Not that I'm fantastic and I'm the best person in the universe. That problems are there. But the point is those problems, why are those problems? Where do they come from? This is specific conditioning of this life. Previous life, it may have been something else. But this life, it's this. So what does it come down to? The living entity, us, the soul, is attached to controlling and enjoying Krishna's material energy. And so when we give up the desire for material desire for enjoying the material energy, then that can be adjusted. Because all these different things, they're not actually a principle. The principle is I want to control and enjoy. Everything goes back to that. Right? Too much eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. It's all back about it controlling and enjoying. No? So it all goes back to there. So that is by the grace of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Lord Balaram. By their grace, then you can give up the desire for trying to control and enjoy the material energy. And then this very specifics of what it is you want to enjoy now, then that's different. You know what I'm saying? Because it's specific. So it's not, it means you have the general things, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, but even in eating, okay, you go into a thing, who wants to eat what? You go into nice cookbooks or things like that. Different cookbooks, different people will be interested in. It's not that any cookbook anybody's going to be interested in. You know what I'm saying? And then somebody else's not eating's not their problem. It's sleeping's their problem, or mating or defending is their problem. And so then they're going to get into those things, and within that there's going to be differences. Does that make sense? So the whole point is that the principle of it is by the grace of Lord Nityananda Prabhu that can go away. If we're sincerely trying to serve Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda is pleased, then these things can go away. Does that make sense? So it ultimately comes down to that. You can be aware of it, so as it starts to go away, you don't have a problem with that. You know, it's just like, let's say you have too much junk in your house. You know, and you know you have too much stuff, you collect too much stuff, but I don't know how to get rid of it. And then you call over a friend because he keeps a very nice, clean house, tidy house. So he says, well, I can help. But you have to be actually willing to give up keeping too much stuff. Because otherwise he can go through your house and work out that there's a good chance of one quarter or a third of it you don't require. And they can take it all out and put it all in one place and say, okay, we can get rid of this. Are you willing to let it go? So that ability to let it go, that's the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. So again, it comes down to the spiritual process and knowing we as a person are taking shelter of people. It's not that, no, you have to just not engage the senses and not, that's not our problem. Our point is we do service to Krishna. And in that way, the senses are engaged. You like to eat prasada, food, we offer things to Krishna, nice things to eat, and you can eat that. Right? But you have to be willing to give up eating all kinds of things that are not recommended. Does that answer the rest of it, or?
Very sobering and encouraging also. Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, Hare Krishna. Okay. Very good. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
We have a question about, can you kindly, Maharaj, explain about devotee care in development of Krishna conscious community.
Okay. Well, when we say devotee care, then the thing is what do we mean by care? Right? Because we can deal with it in a practical way or in a sentimental way. So the point is that you have to see is that what are you dealing with? A living entity has a body, has a mind, and has intelligence, right? And has an identity. But then the point is they have, there's the ultimate, the spiritual form, spiritual mind, spiritual intelligence, and spiritual identity. So real care means to get them from the material to the spiritual. That's real care. But the point is you have to be able to take them from the position they're in now to that real position. So that means it's not about the conditioning, but you can't ignore the conditioning. Right? So that's important, is that we generally, it's all about the conditioning. We say devotee care, and it's just about their emotional state, and, you know, the husband and wife are fighting, or the parents are fighting with the kids, or this family's fighting with that family, and that's all we consider devotee care. But the point is where does the fight come from? It comes from not actually understanding who you are and what's your relationship with Krishna and his energies. That's actually where it comes from. So, means, and in that, there's practical steps you can take in dealing with those things. But you have to know where it goes back to, what actual care is. You know? Otherwise, then, because of lack of seeing it from Krishna consciousness, then we'll start to take things that are actually Krishna conscious and find faults in them because it doesn't match our mundane concept of care. Right? We have to understand when you're dealing with everything, well, the Krishna's energy naturally increases. So, therefore, we're going to increase. So we can either increase on the spiritual platform or we can increase on the material platform. Energy means it's going to increase. Right? So now, the problem comes up is that if we're dealing on the material platform, and we've met with devotees, and everyone sat down in a circle, and, you know, and everyone went around and said something, and like that, and then, you know, we try to, you know, whoever is able to pull the attention to themselves, and we're going to interact with them, you know, first, and then like this, or someone will be in, you know, if it's just a general thing, or someone's in control of the group, and then whoever they feel deserves the attention will get it, and this and that, whatever, you can do that. And you can have a nice effect. But the problem is in having the effect, if it's not based on Krishna consciousness, then we're going to want to experience that effect again. In other words, anything that we experience that we say is nice, we want to experience it again. But if it's not based on Krishna consciousness, then it's going to be based on material. We want to experience that again. Now, where do you go with it? So at some point, if you're using any modern psychological and social things, what's the idea of the modern pranamoy, you know, of the modern social that we discussed before is enjoy your senses, right? And so then, why isn't someone enjoying their senses, right? So then it's going to be enjoying your senses becomes the ultimate goal. And then the difficulty comes up is that in that enjoyment on that ultimate goal, then things get in the way, right? And so then the first thing we're going to look at is, well, Krishna consciousness restricts the senses. And so therefore that's bad. So in caring for the devotees is how they can do it. So we shouldn't be so fanatic, you know, they have to experience, hey, they're not, you know, fanatics, they're not this and that. You know, either taking it from that thing, from that arrogance that, you know, hey, you know, it's not like this, or from the point, oh, we're not pure devotees, or do like that. So generally, the people may say that in the beginning, but as they get confidence, then they're going to see bad in Krishna consciousness. So then you're going to have the weaknesses there, is that then Krishna consciousness, oh, they have to get up early, or they have to restrict what they eat or when they eat, or, you know, they just want to hang out and have a good time or party or this or that. And so the point is that then they're going to start to see ways in which Krishna consciousness is restricting their enjoyment. And so then that will come down. So devotee care becomes, you know, how they can enjoy, or why does everybody have the money? Why don't they have the money? Or this and that, or why do they have the power and no one else has the power? Or, you know, it's going to come down to those things. And then one's simply going to find fault. And so you can't, it's not viable. And by about the individual sense gratification and finding fault in authority, you know, as restricting that, then that's not a basis of a relationship. That's not a basis of family or community. It's a temporary alliance in which individuals can work together to accomplish something. But once they get it, they don't really care about anything else. So it's not actually about the main position that they're talking about. So we have to appreciate that in this, that there cannot be, you have to understand is that you're addressing the external situation, but in the context of Krishna consciousness. You know, it's just like I cook. Cooking is a principle. You follow the principles that works. I have a particular recipe. I have the things that work there, and I may adjust according to the time, place, and circumstance, particular individual need, like this. But if I want it to be a certain recipe, it has to be within the context. Does that make sense? Otherwise, you end up with something else. Right? Like if I want paneer sabji and a nice gravy, but I say, well, you know, paneer's heavy, so what can we do instead of paneer? So, yeah, we'll make it a cauliflower like that. And so then, okay, no cauliflower. And the gravy, it's also kind of heavy and all that, you know. And so, okay, so we'll do something lighter. But then, you know, to get some flavor from that, then the cauliflower would have to be like, let's say, stir-fried in the pan, okay, but we want something lighter, so why don't we just steam it, and that, and since we've steamed it and all that, and we want something light, so why don't we just, you know, steam the cauliflower, let it cool down, you know, and that, and then, you know, make a, you know, an oil and vinegar kind of dressing and pour that over the top with some salt and pepper, and then eat that. And so that may work for you, but the point is it's not a paneer sabji. So why say you're making a paneer sabji? You've made steamed vegetable salad. That's what you made. So we have to understand is when you understand the principles, then you can work within these contexts to make it work for the individual. So it's more of a matter of understanding the science and how to apply that science as the art in which you're dealing with the individual and their mood and their attitude and everything. So in this, it doesn't mean that the art of applying it to the individual is not there. It's very much about that. When you get down to apply it, it has to be about how the individual is themselves understanding this, practicing this, committing themselves with this, and perfecting this and going back to Godhead. So it has to be about the individual. You can't not have it about the individual. But much of the time when we say this, oh, it's about Krishna consciousness, oh, just chant, yeah, this is all nonsense. Why are that? No. How they in their position and all that, how they can see it and work it in Krishna consciousness. But one has to understand that Krishna consciousness is the only method. But you have all these techniques. We have to understand, we're at Varnashram. Okay, let's say we say, oh, Varnashram is this old system. It's not a modern system. Oh, it won't work now. Okay, let us look at that. Okay, modern system means what? We're using democracy, right? And so democracy basically means it's a secular system. So that means God consciousness and spiritual life is not a central feature in it. Not that we couldn't have those, I mean that individuals can't practice those things, but it's not what drives the social system. Okay? Then at the same time, it has to have a strong economic base. And, you know, people, if you want actually want economics, people have to work. They have to put in an effort. By putting in the effort, then they get some results, right? And so that way your economics, your national capital will grow. At the same time as, let's say, you know, we want to take care of people and have some aspects of care for the social. So therefore, some socialistic aspects are there. Let's say, like, some national health issues, national health and dental and some other things like that, national education, you know, that's free, that's things are there. But where does that, you can say is, okay, those are good, but where does it come from? If I want to do the social aspects, nice, socialistic aspects, free education, free, free medicine, free, you know, health care and these kind of things like that. That's nice, but they have to be paid for. That means unless there's something that's generating capital, you can't have the socialistic thing. Just take a look at Russia and China. Russia collapsed because there was no money. We say it's, you know, philosophical thing. No, they ran out of money. They could not maintain it. So there's guys standing on a tank yelling and screaming and all that, and they can take over the country. Why? Because there's no money. So then as soon as they add in the capitalistic aspect, now there's money. Now they do whatever they want. Right? And so you see the government, though, is more democratic. It gets shifted more into more, a little bit more of a oligarchic, autocratic kind of thing, but not too far from the democratic. But still, a little bit far. But they added the economics. Same in China. They were one of the poorest countries in the world. But when they added capitalism, now they're one of the richest. But they say they're communists, but I asked a Chinese person the other day, said, in China, do you get free medicine and free education? I said, no. So they're not communist. They're just a dictatorship, a totalitarian government that, you know, makes their money through the capitalistic method, right? And so then, and if you have just one, it's democratic, then you're going to have the thing is, okay, how socialistic is it or not? Some say no socialism. People should work and get the results of their work. As soon as you give the social benefits, people stop working. Right? If you just give them free money, it's just like during COVID, then the government, let's say in America, was giving people money for staying at home because they weren't working. Then when now it's time that they can open up and go back to work, people don't want to go to work. They like sitting at home and getting free money. They just sit at home, get something to eat, and play video games all day. And so it's a big problem now, is that getting people back to work. You know? So the whole always this fight between no, what about this? What about no? Like people have to work for it. No, everybody should get it for free. And the things. So you have these two things, the socialistic and the capitalistic, and that's all they talk about. Right? Because the socialistic, you take it to extreme, you get communism. Right? Now, what about the religious aspect of the state? That there's actually, you know, not just social laws, but there's laws of nature, and those have to be followed. And that's how you'll establish your, you know, the administrative aspect, right? Because otherwise, they establish a totalitarian thing where it's centered around the government, but then there is no money, and people don't enjoy themselves. Or they try to make it about the enjoyment, but then they don't properly educate people. The education goes. So something goes. Or you have the intellectuals that's all around the intellectual thing, and we don't need governments, we don't need money, we just live out in the forest and eat bananas or something like that. And fine. But where are any of these systems on their own working perfectly? Where? Nowhere. And you're going to have students. If someone's being a student, who gets the best marks? Who focuses on being a student? Not the one out partying all day. Right? The family person, they focus on that and do that very nicely. Then that goes nicely. Or the retired person, then they get into that. Or you have the monks and they do that focus. When it's focused, then it works. But at the same time, is somebody just that? That's all you have in society? Only monks? Only retired people, only family people, only students. So just as in that aspect, the ashram aspect, you don't have just one, you have to have all four. So in the same way in the social, you have to have all four. So the Vedic system has all these eight elements working cooperatively together, because you know what's the importance of each, what does what, how much, where their limit is. You have your right because you have your obligation. So you're balancing rights and obligations. When we talk about community these days, everyone talks about their rights. Who talks about obligation? So that's the thing, it's self-centered. I want my rights. Okay, great. And that person over there wants his rights. Who's he going to get his rights from? From you. Where are you going to get your rights from? From them. So that means for you to get your rights, they have to do their obligations. For them to get their rights, you have to do your obligation. Anyone talking about this? Anyone? Did I hear no one? Yeah, that's exactly right. No one's talking about it. You may have government talking about obligation of the people, but not about their obligation. Or the people are talking about their rights and the government's obligation, but not talking about their own obligation. So the Vedic system, instead of talking about your own rights, you talk about your obligation. That then becomes the basis of proper governance. Right? And then where does all that come from? Do we just make it up? What are the rights and obligations? No, that comes from Shastra. Therefore, you need, you have the Brahmins, then they study scripture, they teach scripture. They know it, they teach everybody else. Right? Then it's understood. Then people have something. Right? So without all four of them, it can't work. So generally when we see is we start about community. Have you not seen this? That we have community. We don't need temples now. It's like, what do you mean? Where do people get together and have festivals? Where do people get inspired? Where do they come for spiritual aspects? Because they can say, no, they can do it at their home. Who's doing it at their home? Go ahead, knock me out. Where is that community where there's no temple and everybody's so nicely engaged? So that means you have to have both. You know, a temple wants to control the community. Community wants to control the temple. Some other yatra wants to control your yatra. It's crazy. Everybody does their own duties nicely for pleasing Krishna under authority. Then everything works well. Then you get all the benefits that one's looking for. Otherwise, no. That's the problem. So we have to appreciate that if you want things to work properly, you have to accept Krishna's law. He said that these things are there. And even you say, no, but that's archaic. We can't do it in the modern society. Are there no intellectuals in the modern society? Are there no teachers, no doctors, no lawyers, no philosophers? Are there none of them? No one's ever heard of them. Who's heard of a doctor? Right? Who's heard of a teacher? Right? Okay. Is there no government? Are there no ministers and officers and all these things? Are they not there in society today? Are they not a value in society? Yes. Are there no businessmen? Are there no farmers? Are there no dairy farmers? Are there no bankers? This is gone. They don't exist anymore. It's so archaic. And do you not have the common person who works for everybody else? Is that all not there? You can talk to anybody and they'll understand these four are there. So the point is it's not being properly organized. That's all. It's like God's law exists. You either follow it and you get the scientific benefits, or you don't follow it nicely, and you'll only, those things that work are the ones where you're following his rules. That's all. It works when you follow the rules, and if you don't follow it, it'll never work. Right? If I try to cook by putting my pan on top of the coffee table in front of me, you know, because I don't want to go in the kitchen because I'm watching my favorite program on television, is the preparation going to cook on my coffee table? You know? Okay, what if I, okay, so we need something hot to make it cook. Okay, well, I have a magazine here that's about, you know, the modern political issues, the burning issues of the day. So burning is fire. Fire means heat. So I'll put that magazine on the coffee table and put my frying pan on top of that magazine. Now it'll cook. Right? Hey, I worked it out. You know, booyah. You know? There it is. Is it going to work? Is it going to cook? No. So the whole point is you have to go in the kitchen, put it on the fire, put the pan on the fire, put whatever you're cooking in the pan. You stir it with a spoon. Who made that up? Did you ever learn in school that someone made up cooking on fire and using a pot and using a spoon? No. What did they say? Oh, Neanderthal man, you know, at one point discovered fire and that you could cook on it. So that means the principle of cooking on fire is eternal. And just somehow another caveman one day figured out it was there. You know, he's standing there next to his friend, or, you know, and the friend's dog, and a lightning hit the tree and it caught on fire like that. The dog got roasted, and then they thought, now that looks good. And then they figured out, hey, you know, we can make this fire, and then we can cook dog. You know? So the point is it's eternal principles. You follow it, it works. You don't follow it, it doesn't work. Right? So the point is we have to accept that what Srila Prabhupada is giving us, what the Acharyas are giving us, what Krishna is giving us, is the most wonderful thing that's just meant perfectly for how to engage human life to perfect itself and go back to Godhead. And in the meantime, you get all the nice facilities, right? Pandavas did everything in connection with Krishna. They didn't have facilities. They had facilities. So that's the whole point, is it's already there. So whatever your nature is, whatever service you're doing, you do according to that, and that's how you take care of yourself. Your benefits come by performance of your duties. Because why? Because Krishna is the performance of duties. Therefore, Krishna reciprocates. You perform your duties. And not, I worked, I got money. No, but who gave the principle, you work, you get money? Krishna gave that. No one else made it up. No one else can claim they invented economics. You know what I'm saying? Within economics, certain kind of things and how they sell and buy and this, they can say that they came up with that. But even that has to work on eternal principles. Does that make sense? It means the modern market, they still sell the thing to you for cheap, for more expensive than they bought it. The raw materials and work and labor and investment cost 10 euros. Then they sell it for whatever they can get, you know. But they'll sell it for more than 10 euros. Then they make money. That's an eternal principle. Right? I farm. I put one sack of grain into the field. But after the harvest, now I have 20, 30, 40 sacks. So, therefore, I keep one sack aside for the next planting. And now the other, you know, 29 sacks that I can use for myself or trade with others or sell or do whatever I want with. But if I think, well, I can get that with putting nothing in the ground. Why one sack? I have to waste one sack. I'll only put one-tenth of a sack into the land. So then I'll get one-tenth of the return. Instead of getting 30 sacks, I'll get 3. I'll still get profit, but I'll only get 3. So you have to know, is that that's it's the laws are there, we have to follow. But the art is being able to apply that personally to the individuals that you're dealing with, starting with yourself. But you know, devotee care means, you know, is seeing that, is everybody comfortable in Krishna consciousness? Are they comfortable in their situation? And how can everybody help? Is everybody going to help? Somebody doesn't have money, enough money, right? They're working. Let's say you have a mom, she has some kids like that. She can put in her part-time work, but it's not quite enough to get it. Okay, as community, is anybody else going to put in any money? Or we're going to say, you know, just talk about communism or something. Or, you know, why the government doesn't give her money or like that. Or did you vote for that the government will give these people money? So as a community, do you take care? Someone has more, he gives. Someone has less, like that. But he's giving, he gets the benefit for a giving. He's not obligated to give. He wants to give. And it's not that because I have no money, others have to give me money. So we're dealing with mentalities, attitudes. So therefore, the character of those involved in this whole process of care is very important. And how do you develop character? From chanting Hare Krishna. By chanting, then the 26 qualities develop. So it's not that, oh, there is no need for community development. Of course you have to have community development. But it's called preaching. You know, community means they're having programs, they're like that, Vaishnavas are associating, they're doing things, they're coming to the temple, people are going to their houses. Something's going on that's Krishna conscious. That's community development. Not just sitting around and discussing how bad everyone feels, all the women, all the men are so stupid, and all the men are saying all the women are so crazy. And that's all you do and you call that community development? It's kind of like, how will that work? Right? The point is that, one, yes, material world is a problem, and that will be corrected by being Krishna conscious. You know? And the point is be considerate. Are you in any way dealing that disturbs others? Stop that. You can't expect others to stop doing that unless you stop. You know, and again, goes back to the point. You know, if you want everything to go nicely, Prabhupada quoted from Chanakya. Chanakya, niti means how you practically make things work. It just means it's practical. How to mechanically get the results. And niti has to be based ultimately on dharma, and dharma on bhakti, like that. But Prabhupada says, treat all others' possessions as if they're garbage, means you don't deal with them, as that means, just like you won't pick up garbage from the street, you won't try to take from someone else their possessions. So in other words, you have your possessions, you don't envy, you are not jealous of, you're not hankering after anyone else's possessions, and you make no effort to try to take them from them. That's the first principle. Second principle is you deal with all other ladies other than your own wedded wife as mother. And if you do that, then you're not going to also have any problems. And third is treat everybody else as you would see that you would want to be treated. You want to be treated nicely, you treat others nicely. Just that one shloka, Prabhupada said, from Chanakya Niti, that itself, that's devotee care. Then you can expand from that. Chanakya has given so many points. We see so many nice things going on in the scriptures on how people interacted with each other, how they did things and like that. If you have the thing is, you know, from whatever you have given charity, then that will look nice. Even if you have a little bit. Every month you only have 10 euros extra, but that 10 euros can help somebody, something. Go to the temple, do something for the temple. Just help someone else who doesn't have any money. Do something. So these are the simple things. In other words, the difficulty with community development is people actually have to commit to doing something, and no one wants that. They want everything for free. So that's the problem. So, you know, temple life, it is what it is. You put in your effort, you get the results. You want to live as a community member, great, but you have to put in the effort, otherwise you won't get the results. It's not free. Everything, you have to work. Right? Because the soul by nature is active. Sat chit. Chit means action. Knowledge and action. And then from that, then ananda. Then you get your results. So even on the material platform, you get your so-called happiness from effort. So spiritual is, it's the origin of that. Krishna's active. He does, has his pastimes. Therefore, then we have activity here. Now we use it for Krishna. Then we get the benefit of the material facility because we're engaging them. And at the same time, we're getting the spiritual benefit. Yes, no, very good.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Yeah, that helps.
Hare Krishna. Yes, so now it's 1 o'clock, and so then we will have a break until, or I mean it's 1 o'clock here, I think. What time is there? You're...
It's 10:30. Different.
Yeah, 10:30. That was the... Okay, so your one is... Okay.
Okay.
We resume again in 2.5 hours.
Yes, so yours is 10:30 now, then we start again at your time, 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock.
Yes.
Okay, so hope everybody, and then, you know, devotees can think about it, and then the more questions, and we'll just address the... In other words, we've made these statements, but how to practically apply that, that would be the questions. Or if there's some doubt in, no, this is not the approach, we have to have another approach, then those questions. Okay. Point is try to make it practical so that you can use it. Yes, and that. And so when we come back at in the afternoon at your, what was it? Your
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock, yes. Okay. So we'll see everybody then. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki. Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki.
Jai.
Jai. Go play Minandi. How do you hear to go? Tiny talk.